Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast. I'm Father Sean Wilson. With me this week is Julia Monin. Hey.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm really good.
Oh, that's good.
Did you have a glorious weekend?
It was a doozy of a weekend. A real doozy.
Yeah.
A real doozy of a weekend. Yep.
Was it a doozy of a weekend?
It was a doozy.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so good.
It was.
This is Monday, May something.
Here's 22nd? Part of the weekend that you don't know about.
Okay. So, oh, yeah. Okay.
So we had, of course, the ordination of Father Alex Dugas, who spent a lot of time at the parishes. He had his first mass. That was all wonderful. Mm-hmm. But there was also parishioners from one of our parishes who got married and who I did their wedding preparation. And they got married in a different parish, but the reception was closed. And so Saturday night, I went to the reception.
Whoa.
They had a taco bar
for
the wedding reception, which was incredible. So there I am getting all my tacos. And I'm sitting with one of the bride's uncles. And as we're getting our tacos, I said, hey, do you want me to get you a beer? And he said, yeah. I was like, I'm going to get one too. He said, well, what do you want? Well, just get me something that looks right. They had Corona.
Sure.
So of course, I said, dos coronas, por favor.
Mm-hmm.
I said two coronas, please. Yeah. And then, of course, the lady puts the bartender puts the limes in there. So I take him back and I said, hey, and he goes, oh, this is so perfect. And then I asked him, do you do the thing, you know, where you like, you put it in there and then you pop it up, you turn it over so it can float up? He goes, absolutely. So I flip it over. And as soon as I flip it over, I can feel the pressure. Like, you know, sometimes it just pressure. You can feel it in there. And I, as I turn it up, I try to begin to release the pressure. And it just at one of the people across the table. And it only gets him, which thank goodness, because there were two ladies on either side of him, his wife and his sister-in-law. And he is just roaring in laughter. You know, and the whole table is just erupting in laughter. And like the whole wedding is looking at us. And I'm moderately embarrassed as everybody's laughter. He's got this on and my beer is still kind of foaming off. And I've got a puddle there on the side. It was and it was a doozy. And and he just laughed the whole time. I'm like, I'm so sorry. He goes, oh, no, if anybody at this table deserved that, it was me. And everybody at the table was like, yeah, I guess you kind of did.
We agree.
But oh my gosh. Yeah. And his brother was sitting next to me and he just thought it was the funniest thing ever, of course. So.
What went wrong?
You know, that happens sometimes with those, though. The pressure will build up. And I don't know. Yeah. Cause you know, like it's when it starts to foam, that's it's releasing gas. And so that builds up. I don't know. I should, hindsight, I probably should just stuffed it down in there with my pinky finger and gotten the lime in the.
Oh, you didn't put the lime, you didn't push it, like push the lime all the way down before you tipped it?
Correct. So it was just kind of in the bottleneck. And then you kind of have to hold it for a little bit for it to float and the buoyancy to kind of break it free.
Sure.
Because I can't get it down that far because my fingers are fat.
Pinky.
I should have used my pinky, right?
Push it, let the lime get in there, then flip that bottle over. Then.
Yeah.
But anyway, funny story. Good. Yeah. It sounds delicious. I might. That sounds great. I might have me one of those sooner than later. I was like, what are we going on after this? I haven't had one in a long time.
Oh.
Sounds great.
Oh, God. It is. Tis the season for a Corona.
Yeah.
Like, Cinco de Mayo kicks off Corona season, I guess.
Sure.
I'm just saying that for the first time.
Sure. Sure. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So you had that Saturday taco bar, beer all over your friends. Great night. Ordination Saturday was amazing.
It was.
The mass.
It was
ordination
great.
Mass.
It was beautiful.
Then Father Alex has his Mass of Thanksgiving here Sunday, which was holy moly. Is every like priest's first Mass like that? That was my first time being at a first Mass or Mass of Thanksgiving. Are they always like that?
Oh, no. It depends on who you get to help and who you get to do the music and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this was
they did spectacular. They did a really nice job. It was beautiful.
Beautiful Mass. Beautiful Mass. Yeah, that's great. I got my 40 hugs in on my birthday Friday.
You got your 40 hugs. Yep. Congratulations.
Yep. My niece's graduation party. I said that a month ago I was going to do it, and I prepped her. She knew they were coming, and all 40 hugs within the course of the 4 hours. It was really not that difficult. There were a couple times I thought I was getting behind, but I'm like, I got plenty of time.
You can catch up.
Caught right up. And she was such a good sport. I think every time I came over to give her a hug, she giggled. It was so funny.
You know, so I was there for a bit of this and might have seen three or four of the hugs. And I did notice that she was an incredibly good sport about it. And maybe that came naturally to her, but maybe not. Yeah. So she was always smiling. And yeah.
At one point, I kind of had a 45-minute lull where I got into a conversation and she noticed. She's like, where have you been? I haven't got a hug from you for a while.
But yeah. Deep down, she really probably appreciated it.
I think so. So that was great. It was great. Great way to celebrate. And congrats to her and all the graduates, too. Just what a weekend. Mm-hmm. What a weekend. But thank you for the taco beer story, because I did not know that.
Yeah. That'll happen, you know. So one of my friends says you'll have that on these big jobs.
You'll have that on these big jobs. Yeah, you will. Yeah, I got a nice shout out yesterday at Father Dugas's reception.
Really?
Somebody came up, thanked me for the podcast. She listens every week. She really appreciates listening, and she waits for him to come out. Is it released yet? It's Friday. Like, is it up and live yet? And a couple episodes ago, we must have mentioned about people yelling at us or talking to us as we're going. She says, absolutely, I do all the time.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily yelling, but I'm always talking to you. Right. With you.
So it's a dialogue.
Anyway, it is a dialogue. Mm-hmm. We encourage that, listeners. We encourage you to dialogue with us. So anyway, praise God, right?
Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah?
Yeah.
You ready to do this?
Yeah.
We've got a big important topic this week.
We do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we give you thanks for all the many blessings in your love, which you pour forth into our hearts. We thank you for the detail with which you have created us and your fatherly care in all of creation. And we ask that you may be with all those listening to this podcast, that they may always know their love as beloved sons and daughters. Trust this time into your hands through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
We are on paragraphs 369 to 379, male and female in paradise, 369 to 379.
Righto.
So where are we at here in the catechism?
We're at the very first part. Mm-hmm. We're in the part on the creed, and specifically, you know, the creed is broken down into the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So the part on God the Father, who is primarily responsible for creation.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. And this section has a couple sections, male and female, he created them, and then man in paradise is what we're talking about. So in this first section, male and female, he created them. The first two paragraphs, 369 and 370, are equality and difference willed by God. So man and woman being equal, mm-hmm. also being different, that this is the will of God the Father.
Absolutely. That's what it is.
Okay.
We should get in these paragraphs.
Let's do it. Yeah. 369.
And just maybe, I don't know, maybe before we get into it, sorry, you're about ready to go. And like this, the catechism says just a little bit, mm-hmm. written in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. And these paragraphs now with gender theory and studies and all those sorts of things, you know, is super hot topic, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. What is it? Male and men and women differences, mm-hmm. all of those sorts of things, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that you could kind of like peel off in different directions, and maybe people would want the catechism to say more. And maybe if the catechism was written today, it would say more about these particular topics. Mm-hmm. But it was written in the 80s and 90s, so mm-hmm. what we have is what we have.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that what we have is wrong in any way.
Right.
It just means that more, as more is being unfolded, and as these theories are becoming more expounded themselves, that we could probably as a church do a better job explaining it. But it doesn't mean this is wrong.
Right.
It gives us the basis. It gives us the foundation. It gives us the reality of us being created by the Father, by God, the Creator, male and female. So again, not wrong, but maybe it seems...
New issues arisen that could be addressed now.
Yes.
Right? All of this is true. It just could be applied and extrapolated to answer questions that people pose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So is our approach today to just kind of stick with what this is? I guess if you have anything to add.
Yeah, and we might, you know, kind of make a connection or two, bridge the gap between our own day and age.
Sure. Okay. 369, man and woman have been created, which is to say willed by God. On the one hand, in perfect equality as human persons, on the other, in their respective beings as man and woman. Being man or being woman is a reality which is good and willed by God. Man and woman possess an inalienable dignity which comes to them immediately from God their Creator. Man and woman are both with one and the same dignity in the image of God. In their being man and being woman, they reflect the Creator's wisdom and goodness.
All right.
Created, which is to say willed by God. Those, that word created and that word willed are both italicized, so called out a little bit. But created, they willed by God. God wills man and wills woman. Created equal, right? Okay.
So that's even to say we're before the church or the catechism discusses the part on the fall. Mm-hmm. Right, so that's actually mm-hmm. the next section after what we talk about. So this is actually the original plan of the Lord. So being man or being woman is not a result of the fall. It's not some sort of brokenness. But in paradise, perfect in God's perfect idealized society of the garden, man and woman are there, right? Mm-hmm. And they actually both possess the fullness of what it means to be human. Maybe that was in a different paragraph. That part of their being man, being woman, and even the differences in there are willed by God. And so I might be jumping far ahead now that I'm thinking about it.
Sure. Continuing, because I think we get to that in the coming paragraphs. In no way is God in man's image. This is quoting 370. I'm going to read that again. In no way is God in man's image. Mm-hmm. Let that sink in. He is neither man nor woman. God is pure spirit in which there is no place for the difference between the sexes. But the respective quote-unquote perfections of man and woman reflect something of the infinite perfection of God, those of a mother and those of a father and husband. So man and woman are created in God's image. God has this aspect of man, father, woman, mother, mm-hmm. and we're created in that as man and woman.
Right.
God is not made in our image. Yeah.
Right. And you can see traces of this, right? Because we fall into this trap all the time. And people accuse Christians of following into this. Well, it's just a projection of themselves, like a perfect human is who God is. And you even see this as like what people imagine heaven is like, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure in heaven, you know, we get to, you know, he's probably drinking a cold one for us in heaven. Mm-hmm. Well, that's creating God in our own image of whatever we as human beings think is the perfect part of being human, when in reality, that is not what we're doing in heaven, because the perfection, we're made in God's image, right? God is perfect, and we're the photocopies, right? We're supposed to reflect him, not to create him, and whatever we think as human beings is perfect. So we're made in his image.
So no coronas in heaven.
No coronas in heaven. We won't need them, right? We'll have the waters of life.
We will not need them.
Right. Right. And even that becomes one of the temptation that that Eve is presented with, you know, as Eve is tempted, and Adam's, of course, standing right there beside her. So as Adam and Eve are tempted, the devil says, if you eat this, you will be like God. Mm-hmm. And that's why God's afraid, which is bonkers because they're already like God. They're made in his very image and likeness, right? So it's about grasping something that they're already given. Mm-hmm. So even some of like this kind of male and female stuff that is talking about, like in their being man and woman, they reflect the Creator's wisdom and goodness. Being man and being woman, you know, in our own day and age gets talked about as like a construct of society, right? Like this is what society or those in power have said, these are female characteristics and these are male characteristics. And some of that, right, you can kind of see where that might be true, right? You think about like hairstyles, right? Hairstyles, right? There's particular things that men wear their hair traditionally and ways that women wear their hair. Mm-hmm. But that's in no way culturally absolute, right? Mm-hmm. People in Africa men and women wear their hair differently than in the United States, and that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. But to say the whole thing of gender is just a social construct and not intimately tied to biology is basically what people are. That's the fundamental argument that we're battling in our own day and age. Is gender received from God as part of the creation, part of God's original plan, or is gender something that those in power have created to control, to whatever it may be, right? And there's even particular issues that, and you get into this in the fall because of what happens. Part of the fall is that there is a battle amongst the sexes, and even John Paul II notices that women have suffered this more. They're more the recipients of the fall. And even think about like the right to vote, right? That was a travesty, right? That women couldn't vote for however, at least in our country, however many, 150 years before in the early 1900s received the right to vote. And that is, right? That shows inequality. Mm-hmm. But where was I going with that? So there are issues in the distinction of the sexes, and what is equality versus what does the sameness mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we're not all supposed to be the same, right? There is a difference. And that's what the church is proposing. Mm-hmm. In creation, there is a difference between what it means to be man and what it means to be woman. And it's not just something that those in power have constructed to keep others down. But there's, but you can see why people say that.
Yep.
Because there have been some real issues. Yep. But if it's all that,
yep.
Who, buddy?
Yep.
So.
Yep. Yep. It's reminding me too of, you know, the words from scripture where it talks about, you know, the call of husband and wife and woman being submissive to the husband and husband laying down his life for the woman. Right. And reading that can be so controversial, you know,
sure.
Women be submissive to your husband. No. Right. Mm-hmm. But to know that it's been abused on such radical levels by so many men that a woman will look at that and say, no way.
Am right.
I being some, and maybe for good reason, you know, because if the man isn't morally sound, isn't ethically sound, and I'm just supposed to be
selfish.
Yeah. Selfish, whatever it is, that doesn't make sense. But if you take it out to what it's meant to be from the very beginning, man and woman being willed, being equal, but being different. And then that makes sense. Like if a man is really willing to be selfless and to sacrifice for his wife and for his family and to lay down his life for his family like Christ laid down his life for us, then woman would respond to that call with great eagerness to say, of course I'll be submissive to you. You don't look at it as it's degrading
oppressive,
in any way
yeah.
or oppressive in any way. But yeah, that to your point of that it makes sense why this truth, this foundational truth that seems so simple, why it can become so twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, sin enters the picture and everything gets messy.
It
everything
sure
gets
do.
Messy. So the next few paragraphs then is a section that's titled Each for the Other, a Unity in Two. 371, God created man and woman together and willed each for the other. The Word of God gives us to understand this through various features of the sacred text. It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. None of the animals can be man's partner. The woman God fashions from the man's rib and brings to him elicits on the man's part a cry of wonder, an exclamation of love and communion. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Man discovers woman as another quote-unquote I, sharing the same humanity. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Adam's words at the creation are just so beautiful.
They are.
This one at last, right? All the creatures coming before him. No. Ah.
You'd imagine that. Like, what about dolphins? Dolphins are great.
Dolphins
Dog,
are great.
It's your best friend.
Man's best friend. Right.
Cats, definitely not.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then at last, you know.
At last.
Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And there's just so much eagerness and relief and excitement that you can hear in Adam's voice at the creation of Eve. And you hear that in so many ways. I always, and maybe I've said this on the podcast, I always think of this at a wedding day, you know, as the groom's watching his bride come down the aisle at last, this one, right? He discovers another eye sharing that same humanity. So...
Continuing, man and woman were made for each other, not that God left them half-made and incomplete. He created them to be a communion of persons in which each can be a helpmate to the other, for they are equal as persons, bone of my bones, and complementary as masculine and feminine. In marriage, God unites them in such a way that forming one flesh, they can transmit human life, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. By transmitting human life to their descendants, man and woman as spouses and parents cooperate in a unique way in the Creator's work.
This like complementarity is just so beautiful because it recognizes that none of us is complete in and of, you know, we're complete human beings, but we don't have everything that we need on our own. Like we actually need each other to raise a family or to serve in the church. Like we just can't have one person having being good at all things, right, and doing everything well. So, of course, except Jesus Christ, who they say, "Behold, he's done all things well." But this complementarity of masculine and feminine, and even in a family, right, to see those two things balance each other out and to challenge each other and to draw the best out of each other—it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about the argument with your own vocation as a celibate priest? Right. So we're reading this from. from the catechism and talking about this complementary aspect, the masculine mm-hmm. and the feminine, and what man and woman are created for this helpmate. But with your vocation and your as a celibate priest, right, you sort of forego this natural, relationship between man and woman. So what about the people that say, like, you're missing out on something with that? Like, what? How does that work with what we're learning here about this complementary aspect?
Yeah. Well, you think about when Jesus is given that question in Matthew's gospel, right? Is it possible for a man to divorce his wife for any reason whatsoever? He says, what does the scripture say? Well, Moses said we could. And he said, but I say to you, from the beginning, it was not so. God created them male and female. So that bond is mm-hmm. is unbreakable. And the apostles are like, well, if that's the case, it's mm-hmm. better that we shouldn't get married. Mm-hmm. And he says, some are unable for marriage because they were born so. Others, there's one other thing in mm-hmm. there. But some have chosen this for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. And so... So that's what it is, right? Mm-hmm. There is something incredibly good about marriage, right? And you give your life to something else. Mm-hmm. So we stand in the person of Christ, the bridegroom, mm-hmm. who gives his life to his bride, mm-hmm. the church, and that gets personified in some people in a very particular way. I was at a Day of Recollection for priests. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I don't know, 30 priests there. And so it was a day of healing, right? So it's kind of like bringing up all this stuff. And the day ended, you know, Sister Miriam James Heidland, she's just rock star. Mm-hmm. She's a beautiful woman, just a great religious sister. And she, the end of it, she says, Fathers, one of the beautiful things of my vocation is I am to, as you image Christ the bridegroom, my role is to image Christ the bride. Mm-hmm. And so I want to speak to you on behalf of your bride, that I get to image your bride. And so she just went in like mm-hmm. pouring her heart out just to mm-hmm. thank you. And I'm sorry sometimes we're cruel to you. Thank you for your generosity, you know, and she mm-hmm. just like kind of lays it all out there. And there's like 30 guys just like, well, thanks, sister. Aww. Yeah, right. It was just beautiful. So right. So just to bring it back, so our spousal relationship exists in a different way, mm-hmm. right? It exists in a similar way that Christ was. Mm-hmm. So we experience it mm-hmm. on a different way, though. Sure. It's not as practical, mm-hmm. and it makes us fight for it, mm-hmm. right? Like you really, when it's not like somebody that's just there who's always supposed to be your person. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in that one instance, like you're seeing that complementary aspect of mm-hmm. the masculine and the feminine, like God, again, just foregoing what we see in the marital union, but still you're seeing that played out.
Oh, yeah.
With her as a religious sister and you guys as the priest seeing that this is how it's supposed to work or mm-hmm. how it works amongst your vocations. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard, you know, we don't have as many religious sisters mm-hmm. in the country as we used to. And mm-hmm. I was talking to an older priest about this. He goes, yeah, you know, unfortunately, the church today is a single parent household. Mm-hmm. And you dads are trying to do the best you can. But it's we're lacking it a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it's a little unbalanced and it's a little unhealthy, mm-hmm. but you do the best you can, right? You mm-hmm. can't just kind of drag people and say, hey, you're going to be the mother of this family. You know, mm-hmm. we need women religious. So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Such is life, but it's mm-hmm. something we, I think all of us feel even if we don't know it.
Yeah.
Right. Because we expect the priest to do all things. And mm-hmm. he said, you know, when I was almost went into an impersonation of him, but, you know, when I was first ordained, mm-hmm. If people needed to talk to somebody, they were more likely to go to the religious sisters who were at the parish staffing the school. Mm-hmm. They were the mothers of the entire parish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we took on more of the masculine role. So, mm-hmm. we're getting far afield from the catechism, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. plenty to ponder on 21st century parish life in the United States of America.
Right, for sure. In God's plan, man and woman have their vocation of subduing the earth as stewards of God. The sovereignty is not to be an arbitrary and destructive domination. God calls man and woman made in the image of the Creator who loves everything that exists to share in his providence toward other creatures. Hence, their responsibility for the world God has entrusted to them. Man and woman have the vocation of subduing the earth as stewards of mm-hmm. God. Not an arbitrary domination. Ah, I'm a man, I can do whatever I want, but stewards.
Right. You even think about one of the tasks that God gives them is to name all of the animals. Mm-hmm. And You just showed before we started mm-hmm. your cousin had a mm-hmm. child and mm-hmm. we asked what the name is. Mm-hmm. And that's a great sign of care is you mm-hmm. say this child, what will this child be known as for mm-hmm. all eternity? Mm-hmm. And you think of something similar for Adam and Eve, right? They're bringing the foxes before them mm-hmm. or an octopus or a hippopotamus mm-hmm. as they name them. It's out of great care, right? You don't give something, you know, naming something is to show great care, is mm-hmm. to recognize its identity. Mm-hmm. But this is getting really far afield. That's what Adam and Eve do. They recognize what's already present there. Mm-hmm. They don't create something new. Their words are to recognize what God has already done. God's mm-hmm. word creates, their word recognizes what he has created.
Hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, I just read that like 2 days ago and something. Yeah. That's it's not my own insight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on? Move on?
Let's move on. Okay. Let's go to paradise.
So man in paradise is the final section, the last few paragraphs. So again, we're talking man and woman. We're talking all of this before the fall is what we're talking about. So here, man is in paradise.
The fancy word, prelapsarian, before the lapse, prelapsarian.
I like that. That is a fancy word.
That is fancy.
How do you spell that?
Prelapsarian. Just sound it out.
Prelapsarian.
Yep. That's it.
The first man
good job
was
sounding it out.
Thank you.
I can tell you learned how to read in the old days.
Thank you. You know the letters and you sound it out. That's right. The first man was not only created good, but was also established in friendship with his creator and in harmony with himself and with the creation around him in a state that would be surpassed only by the glory of the new creation in Christ.
Perfect relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. as that is not mm-hmm. the case now, mm-hmm. right? So things have fallen. The relationship with the Lord has fallen, but it's been restored in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But the battle rages on. So we know that things will not be a perfect relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's not the Lord's fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's ours.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so if things aren't perfectly in your relationship with the Lord, that means it's okay. Mm-hmm. None of ours is. Mine mm-hmm. isn't. Yours isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Even the walking saints, it's mm-hmm. not, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
but it's something to long for.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
They walked with the Lord
mm-hmm.
in the cool of the day. Sounds great.
It is kind of hot up here. The first man was not only created good, established in friendship with his creator, and in harmony with himself. Can you imagine that?
Like, harmony with myself.
Yeah, right?
Gosh,
like
yeah.
being at peace within your own house. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, because a lot of what we battle is that in and of itself. So
yeah, I do the things I don't want to do and
exactly.
I don't do the things I want to do.
Exactly, exactly. The church, interpreting the symbolism of biblical language in an authentic way in the light of the New Testament and tradition, teaches that our first parents, Adam and Eve, were constituted. Really? That's simple, huh? In an original state of holiness and justice, the grace of original holiness was to share in divine life. Original justice, original holiness, to share in divine life.
That was the plan, right? That was the plan from the very beginning, that they would stay in this friendship and to share in God's life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the garden.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm. Sorry, I'm thinking about like raising a little person, you know, for the first mm-hmm. time and not knowing any idea what I'm doing and trying to figure it out as I go, but learning a lot along mm-hmm. the way. And like, just as young people are so, you know, so defiant and want to figure things out for themselves. And that's great. That's okay. And I try to encourage that. But at some point I wanted to ask my little guy today, like, why don't you trust me? Like, when I tell you don't do that, why don't you just trust me and just not do it? And what have I done that's made you think that I'm not a trustable person? But then you go back, like, then as I was having that thought, I'm going back to the fall. Like, yeah, why didn't in that moment Eve trust God? And why wasn't Adam defending that in that moment and saying, hold on, Eve, this is a terrible idea. Let's get on up out of here, you know?
Yeah, right, right.
Like, what happened?
Well, look at the time. We better get going. Devil
yeah.
man.
Yeah, right. We're going to leave
Yeah,
now.
We got another appointment.
But anyway, that's such a simple thought, but like, yeah, like what? Yeah. Why don't you trust me? Why don't you trust me? Anyway, question for all of us to ponder.
Mm-hmm.
By the radiance of this grace, all dimensions of man's life were confirmed. As long as he remained in the divine intimacy. Oof. That's a nice word, divine intimacy. Just saying. As long as he remained in the divine intimacy, man would not have to suffer or die. The inner harmony of the human person, the harmony between man and woman, and finally the harmony between the first couple and all creation comprised the state called original justice. Mm.
Justice being like right relationship with themselves, with each other, with God, and with all of creation.
With creation. Mm-hmm. As long as they remained in that divine intimacy.
Oof. And that's why that first commandment is to love God, because when we remain in divine intimacy, everything else kind of falls into place, right? Our relationships with each other fall into place, as long as we're authentically going into divine intimacy and talking with the Lord and not just, you know, making ourselves feel like we are through our external piety or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. Even those words, harmony, you know, when we think about harmony, it's not like one note that's all the same.
Right.
Harmony is, there's multiple notes and they're all equal and they're all good. And when they're together,
they sound even better.
They sound even better. So going back to man and woman and this, and who we are with ourselves, like these differences exist, but they're meant to play in harmony with one another.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, somebody said they were reading something. And I don't know what, but you know music a little bit. The typical male and female voices are an octave apart. Speaking of harmony, so like the male and the female voice should be able to sing in harmony together, where they actually like go together, which is just beautiful, like in nature, revealing this harmonization that we are supposed to have, even in our song.
So beautiful, simple and true.
We should sing the rest of this podcast.
You want to chant this? I'm up here.
I'm down here. Darn it. See, that's what happens when I try to follow you, right? I have to go the male way.
Yeah, that's right.
Down here. All right.
Where are we at? 377?
Yes.
The mastery over the world that God offered man from the beginning was realized above all within man himself. Mastery of self. The first man was unimpaired and ordered in his whole being because he was free from the triple concupiscence that subjugates him to the pleasures of the senses, covetousness for earthly goods, and self-assertion, contrary to the dictates of reason. Spell that out for us, Padre. A lot of beauty there.
Yeah. So basically our own discipline, the will, the strength of the will that's rightly informed, you can master. They were in perfect self-mastery, right? Mm-hmm. So like if I didn't, you know, if they didn't want to eat three pieces of fruit, they could, the perfect self-mastery, that is not good, that And then the will to be able to choose that. So to be able to avoid the triple concupiscence, the world, the flesh, and the devil, as the first letter of John talks about it. And so they were able to, through their own self-mastery, remaining in divine intimacy, refrain from falling into sin.
The mastery over the world was realized above all in this mastery of self.
Right.
Okay. The sign of man's familiarity with God is that God places him in the garden. There he lives to till it and keep it. Work is not yet a burden, but rather the collaboration of man and woman with God in perfecting the visible creation. Work is not yet a burden.
Right. But it will become, because that actually becomes part of the prescription of the fall, that man has to work by the sweat of his brow.
Learn how to love. Yeah.
Learn how to love.
Right.
Right. Yeah. That's we talked about that at some point. So living in the garden and working alongside God is actually part of his blessing, right? To be, because you're being a co-creator, right? That's why, you know, I'm not good at growing anything, right? Vegetables, fruit, flowers, grass, right? Like none of it I'm very good at growing. And it's actually kind of a loss, right? Because part of that is sharing in God's creativity, sharing in God's ability to grow. So that's the beauty of what Adam was doing. He was working alongside God to cultivate growth, to create.
And not yet a burden.
And did it with joy.
Yeah, right. Because realizing it's a collaboration, like what a gift. Right? That God is allowing me to do this.
Right.
Yeah, okay. This entire harmony of original justice foreseen for man in God's plan will be lost. by the sin of our first parents.
Bummer.
Bummer is right.
Yeah.
Okay, hypothetical question for you. Something I was pondering a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago maybe. It was coupled with pondering Adam and Eve in the fall, in addition with the prodigal son and the older brother, the older mm-hmm. son and the older brother. We know those stories, right? So mm-hmm. the younger son goes off, squanders inheritance, lives a life of
dissipation.
Dissipation. I was going to say dispensation. I'm like, that's not right.
That's not quite it.
And then comes back and the older brother is like, what? I've been here all along.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, dad? Like he's what? Why are you being so generous? Type of a thing. So just pondering this. And what we talked about earlier with Adam and Eve being the one that succumbed to temptation, but Adam literally being right there.
Yeah,
right?
Like by her side.
Right. If the older brother would have actually been an older brother, if Adam would have actually been a man, mm-hmm. would the younger brother have walked away or fallen as hard as he fell? Would Eve have taken the temptation? It's just something to ponder. Because that reality is that we've all made mistakes. And sometimes we can put ourselves in the older brother shoes or in Adam's shoes. Like Eve ate the fruit, but I didn't.
Right. It's their fault. It's They're their the bad fault, guy.
Right. It's kind of easy to do that. And I think it's something to really reflect on as, you know what, if I was really the older sibling that I'm meant to be, if I was really who I was created to be, then maybe these people who are really struggling or have really fallen, maybe they wouldn't have had to have gone through that because I would have actually done like what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Something to ponder.
Yeah.
Something to ponder as and it goes the other ways too. Sometimes you beat yourself up for your sins, for your mistakes. Maybe you're the younger child or you're the Eve in the situation and you can't get over the fact sure. that how could I do such a terrible, miserable thing? And to know that it wasn't just you. There was a lot mm-hmm. of things like we take ownership for what you've done, for the mistakes you've made, of course. Return to the Lord with a contrite and humble heart and resolve to change your life and to change your ways. But to know that you're not solely responsible for what has happened, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, something to ponder.
That is something to ponder. Our own participation mm-hmm. in our own sin, right? Like mm-hmm. there's, or in the sins of others, right? Because mm-hmm. you don't want to abdicate all responsibility and say, well, that's their fault. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, you don't want to take too much responsibility for what other True. People do to say, oh my gosh, if I would only done this, or if I would have done this, or if I would have done this, because, well, it's putting ourselves as the savior of the world, right?
Right.
So like, how do you get that balance between what is my responsibility? And I think that's living in the moment with the, mm-hmm. with the Lord, right? Living into providence, because sometimes in the moment, right? If I knowing, like you can even look back, it's like, if I would have said that to that person, I think, you know, I'm telling myself it would have changed everything, but mm-hmm. would it have?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to even see, did I chicken out in that occasion mm-hmm. or I was already pushing too hard and I could already feel them withdrawing. And so mm-hmm. I didn't go even further because that was the charitable thing to do and mm-hmm. would have driven them more away.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm.
right. Truth. So yeah, there's a lot of ways to examine our conscience.
Mm. Yeah. Should we try harmonizing again just for fun?
The podcast is over. Go in peace.
Thanks be to God. And everybody's saying, yes, thanks be to God.
Yeah, about time.
Oh, man. Okay.
Stay tuned next time where we talk about our album release.
Right. Come see us live in concert.
Yes.
One time I did have an event and I tried to get you on stage to sing a song with me and you refused.
I did because I didn't really know the words.
Oh, so if it was a different song that you would have known, you would have done it? Because I might try something later next time we're given a chance.
I don't know if you know what songs I would know and what I wouldn't know, because I don't know the songs I would know and I wouldn't know.
We've sang some songs in here, so I know the songs that we've sung in here are songs that right. you know.
At least the little snippets of it, right? Like, so that's the thing. Snippets. I could give 10 seconds and then you're okay. like, oh.
That's fine. That's all we need. Yeah. Okay. We already know where we're going next week.
We do.
We threw two darts last week
because mm-hmm.
we're recording two today. Where are we going next week?
2683 to 2691, Guides for Prayer.
2683, 2691, Guides for Prayer. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else about male and female in paradise? Any final thoughts?
Mm-mm.
Nah?
Nope.
Okay. I am going back to the beginning. Genesis. Genesis 2. 18 to 24. We'll end here. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh."